Blog Talk Radio.
This is Clarence Cloverleaf, welcoming you to Cloverleaf Radio. Remember, you can always dial in at 646-716-4378. Be sure to watch your language, please, as we are an all-ages program. But we would be delighted if you would sign up for a Blog Talk Radio account, should you so desire, as it will keep you connected with us. And you can always download the newest episodes for free.
Exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I'm the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. Our special guest, Steve Kern, is here, as well as another special guest. Steve, you might remember Mac McMurray.
Who?
Yeah.
You better remember me. How you doing, stranger?
I'm doing awesome. How about
good,
you?
Good, man. I'm glad to hear. I look for you at some of these show and tells, and haven't run across you yet. I saw Mike Graham not too long before, and a lot of the boys I hadn't seen.
You know, that cauliflower or alley thing is a good thing, too, for seeing a lot of the guys you haven't seen. I haven't been out there, but
I haven't
either. Legends Luncheon tomorrow. Brian Blair throws a Legends Luncheon down here in Tampa, and a lot of the older timers show up, you know, and
yes, sir.
I'm going to go to that tomorrow about 1 o'clock.
Well,
so.
got Mobile coming up the 6th and 7th of March.
Wow, that's out of my driving range.
Oh, no, it's not for my. It's 600 miles from where I live up here in the mountains of Tennessee with the snow on the ground.
Wow.
It takes me, I leave on Sunday morning and I go to Selma, Alabama, and stay with a gentleman there, and then go into Mobile on Monday, and just in time to find out my room's not ready. And then I helped set up and everything. This is my 21st one, Steve. Brian Blair went two or three reunions ago for the first time, and he's been going regular. Ron Robert even showed up a couple of years ago. Bill Watts, Orndorff. I've been trying to talk him into it. I saw him recently, and I got the story. But I mean, it's just unreal. Danny Hodge goes, Garvin goes. We just have a ball. I mean, we sit there and tell lies for 48 straight hours.
You know, it's funny. They're probably not lies. They're probably a truth, but they're kind of close to a lie.
They are. Nobody believe it but us. I don't care.
Yeah, I know. And teaching all this next generation, when I was teaching, they'd ask me wrestling stories. I'd try to tell them some, but then they looked at me like I was so full of crap. Ain't no way you did that.
Yeah,
you would have never left Terry Taylor 100 miles from Nashville at 1 o'clock in the morning when he got out to pee just because he was bothering you.
Stranger things have happened. I've got a few, so a couple I can't tell. But It's kind of the okay thing. But give it some thought. I'm on Facebook. If you're interested, I'll fill you in on it and make sure that they'll reserve you a room. And it's I think you'd have an awfully good time. Brian, I believe, is going to be coming. I haven't talked to him, but in the last year, but I'm sure he'll go. He had a ball. He just had a ball. And I know that.
I'll mention it to Brian tomorrow. As a matter
please
of fact,
do.
And see if he's going. Sure.
If y'all could go together, I mean, it'd be just peanuts. It's $35 for the reunion. You eat Friday night, big meal Friday night, and then a buffet Saturday morning till, 11 to 2, something like that. And then there's entertainment and plenty of time to sit around and try to catch up, even though you can't in 2 days, especially with you. It's been a long time since I've seen you. But I've talked to who's the host name of this show? I can't even remember. But anyway, I've talked to him about going down. And all you have to do is be connected.
Well, Jimmy, you've got a hell of a show going so far, brother. You
Well, I think it's what they call a wizard. It's a wizard or something like that.
I get the old timers on, and I can't get a word in edgewise.
I know they're like lemon, ain't they?
Well, that's what I say. I put the name verbal diarrhea on it, and everybody looks at me like they got four heads, and they break down laughing. So,
yeah.
But give some thought. I'd love to see
it's better than talk to somebody that talks back.
Oh yeah, instead of talking to yourself, anybody that's done paid their dues. In Jimmy's case, he's done it on the radio. Referees, managers. Promoters, no marks.
Them promoters.
We've outlived some of them. But,
you're talking about the guys with the deep pockets and the short fingers. That's what I'm promoting.
Yeah, they got one pocket and it's only for in. Now,
yeah.
I went to the Cauliflower Alley in, I think it was 96. I went over there. I was coming in from a funeral in Kentucky, and I pulled in the garage down there, and Mula comes running out. Boy, I'm glad you're here. You got a presentation to make. Well, fortunately, from being at a funeral, I had a coat and tie. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had one. And it was good, but the marks were all over. I haven't been to Vegas, but it was really awesome. And it turned out Jack Donovan and I had a presentation for Jerry Briscoe, and it went real well. So, and that was in Tampa. But give it some thought. I'd love to see you, and I think we could have an awful lot of fun. I know we will.
Cool. What month is it?
It's the 6th and 7th of March. Now, I get out early, like I say, to help set up down there for the last few years. I've been doing that to help them out a little bit because all the old board has died. Bob Kelly, Lee Fields, both the other Fields brothers are gone.
I worked with Lee Fields when I was just about 20 years old.
Well, I never worked that territory at all down there, and I came up here in 74 from Florida. I was here from 74 to 83, went back to Florida, and I came up in 94 to do a Legends thing, referee a Legends thing for Cornette, and it was Garvin and Stomper against Orton and Slater. And as we were leaving, Garvin said, "You gotta got a mobile this year?" I said, "What in the world? I didn't lose any mobile." So I said, "What's it like?" "Nah, I never go to them things." Well, he gave me Bill Bowman's number, and I called Bowman. We talked for a solid hour, and I didn't know him from Adam's house cat. And he sold me on it. This was in August of 94. In 95, I went down there. I came up from Florida, and I flew up, got a car. Went to the motel, didn't know anybody. Went to the building and didn't know anybody. But 5 minutes later, I knew everybody. So it's the camaraderie is just unreal. And then I talked Garvin into it, and he finally came down. He's missed a couple because he was driving people down. Everybody he drove down died. Tim Woods, that's the truth. I wouldn't walk around the block with him much. Let's ride with him. But he'll
talking
be
about
there.
Ronnie, You're talking about Ronnie Garvin, right?
Yeah. I've stayed in touch with him.
I knew them all. Jimmy was my tag team partner for a long time down here in Florida. But, I rode with Ronnie. I actually got in an airplane with Ronnie, and he was out of his mind. But it was fun. I mean, I'm still alive. So.
Well, I was supposed to fly a couple of times with him, but I had real big bad back trouble. I had a yellow streak that went from my shoulders to my behind when it came to that. So, but we stay in touch quite a bit. We've been up to that house he built up in West Virginia, rather. And when you come into Charlotte, he stays here at the house all the time when he comes through. And he'll be staying here in March because he'd be turkey hunting with a neighbor. And he's down there now in a fifth wheel. He went down right after Christmas and stayed in the panhandle down there in some camp that he goes to down there. And he and Glenda will meet us at the reunion. So it's really something to think. Give it some real serious thought. And if you're able to
okay.
go, I'll give you all the information.
Sounds like a good time.
You would have a ball, I guarantee
right.
you. And if you don't, I'll give you money back out of my pocket. I'll take that loan out.
Hey, Jimmy, did you hear that?
I did. I'm going to be going to court on your side, so I think
that's now. Oh, Lord. Terry Mace. Oh, no.
Bobby Heenan told me one time he went to the cauliflower thing, but Ox Baker drove him nuts. He told me it was such a bad time that I felt bad for him, and I didn't ever go.
Watts came down, too, and he had a ball. I think he's moved to Florida, if I'm not mistaken. But I've heard about that one that you're going to this week because Dottie Curtis tells me all about it.
That's right. She comes down from Jacksonville.
Yeah, she doesn't like to drive by herself is a problem. Buddy Colt's been to the one in a Mobile.
No, has he?
Yeah, you'll have a ball. I know you have a good time with those down there. If it wasn't quite so far, I'd love to go to one of those. Even though I never actually worked. Well, I did too. It's when I first got into business for Tampa. Well, I worked for the Fullers basically, but
yeah,
it was we had an awful lot of fun. Still do.
Yeah, you too. Well,
the camaraderie's not the same, Steve. To me, of course, these kids
have
got to work a day job. Well, they got to work a day job.
This is an ever moving train that, like, you know, a lot of guys got on and off and stuff, but this is kind of all I ever did my whole life since I was almost 15 years old. When my dad was a prisoner of war, Eddie took me under his wing, and I was learning stuff and doing stuff and even selling Cokes and hot dogs at the armory and crap like that. And, and I just retired the end of December, and I've seen four generations. And then this last one, you're saying there's no camaraderie, but there's
it's not like it was.
No, I agree with you because I'm part of this, the new generation. Most of those guys on Monday Night Raw had something to do with teaching them. And it's not like anybody owes you anything, but it's not like you're friends. You know what I mean? It's almost like it's a flash by. It goes by so quick. This is what's missing. It's missing the time you were in cars and riding a trip every night. That's where you learned about each other and stuff. So they don't really learn. It's a different business, but it works. They're making money, so it's cool.
Yeah, well, the Indies aren't doing much up here anymore. It's the point where if they break even, they're making money, and it shouldn't be that way.
Well, this is this is just my opinion about the business, but this is what I've viewed. Our business is basically it draws by who's on the card. You know, it's not brand driven. Like if you just advertise, let's just say you're promoting two towns, even here in Florida. If I go to Ocala and say, okay, I'm running a big MMA show, I don't have to put anybody's name on the card. I can just put, I'm running an MMA show and I've got 10 matches or 10 fights. If I go to Orlando or Ocala or anywhere and I go, I'm running a wrestling show. This guy's on the card wrestling, this guy wrestling, that guy. I've never heard of this guy. I never heard of that guy. I don't know those guys. I don't know that guy. That's what happens. And so the difference is we're actually character driven. People that are wrestling fans, they have an identity with. They want to see somebody they know, even if it's an older guy or a young guy or whatever. I mean, you know, that's what motivates them to buy a ticket. It's not, you know, and when I promoted down here, the FCW, the new guys, and teach, I promoted matches. And this is the way I looked at it. I looked at it like, okay, six-man tag match, fatal four-way, chairs and ladders, blah, 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 blah. And that's all I promoted because I figured you'd capture their imagination by intrigue
of
the violence of the matches. So, anyway, but that's
well,
that's
what
my
I found out that you know you do your best with what you got. But I it dawned on me now, our generation, I'm a little older than you are, but our generation is dying off, but so are our fans. So all these kids now see on TV is what Vince wants them to see. And
right.
I can see the same thing at Remy Brothers.
There's not much of a option either, so you're not getting comparable to say, I like this better than I like that.
No, you're absolutely right. They see what they see. And just, I mean, he determines what you're going to see. And the trouble is he determines it for these people that are up and coming that don't know a hammerlock from a hemorrhoid anyway.
Yeah. But you know what? That's an old-timer speaking.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's our generation.
Yeah, it is such a big industry and so successful. Everything that they do is amazing. And, I mean, you know, you can see the difference in it and wish it was the same, but it changed and so did the people. And this is the same as action movies from Charles Bronson and Clint Eastwood chasing one or two guys and killing maybe two guys in a movie to Van Damme and Seagal killing about 300 in the first 5 minutes and blowing up and diving out of fire. So the poor guys that have to work nowadays have to jump through their own ass to impress people too. So,
yeah, you're right. I hadn't looked at it quite that same way, but bottom line is the same thing. You have to give them something different. And of course, these kids now, and the older fans, even though they're younger than us, a cage match, a barbed wire match, some of that stuff they're familiar with, but some of this other stuff they've come off the wall with, I'm not familiar with it. I mean, I hung the boots up in 2010, because I couldn't get out of the way of these kids anymore. I could get in a ring with somebody like you, and I could watch you, watch your eyes, watch your move, and know exactly where I needed to be. These kids now, half the time, they don't know where they're supposed to be. And it was just a matter of time before we had a double knockout and somebody had gotten hurt.
Well, it's consistency. When I started, and for probably my first 17, 18 years, it was a 7-day-a-week job.
Yes.
And most territories had minimum one TV. Sometimes, like Georgia, you worked a TV on Saturday morning. You worked a TV on Saturday afternoon live in Columbus, and then you drove either to Carrollton or Griffin, just south of Atlanta. So you worked three shots on Saturday and another TV on Tuesday afternoon in Atlanta for some channel. So you're working an average of maybe 9 times a week to 10 times a week, full-time, nonstop. And if you didn't wrestle, you didn't get paid, so you worked whether you could walk, talk,
chew gum,
just as long as your feet moved, the rest of you could just make it work. But that's the difference. You were doing it like, I remember feeling from my first 5 years lost to all of a sudden I could close my eyes and do it without even looking to see where everything was. I mean, because it came such, it comes part of your life. You know, so.
Well, you were part of it when I first got in. I got in unofficially in 1969, and I met Ronald, I think, and we started talking, and I was a cable splicer for the phone company, and he'd building a home over on the East Coast there, north of West Palm, and he wanted me to pre-wire his house for him for telephone. Of course, the telephone company thought that was great because I'd been doing it out of my time. They wouldn't have to pay me. Well, I don't know whatever happened, but I never did do it, but we stayed in touch. And the pretty next thing you know, I'm driving him to his matches so he could sleep in the evenings. And that's how I got in. I worked my notice out with him in 72 and went full time with Ronald. And then we went up here in October of 74 to Knoxville, bought out Kazana. But I don't know how you ever missed coming up here because a lot of those boys came up here from about 74, 75.
Where are you?
I was in Knoxville. I'm in Del Rio, Tennessee now. That's about 65 miles east of Knoxville, 2,000 feet up the mountain. Got a mountaintop. Jimmy can tell you.
You know,
I told
him
enough.
There was a group there when Robert and Ron were doing it. I know, I'm pretty sure Kevin Sullivan slipped into there too, and everybody
Kevin
had
was
to
there.
Coach, and they went. Yeah, they all went on Sundays and hung out on the lake and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. North.
Yeah,
North
I remember
lake.
That. I don't know how I missed that. I mean, you know, I think I was over in the Nashville area during that time.
I never knew
so
you were anywhere close to up here. Yeah, they all had a boat. Ronnie Garvin, he had his boat. I had a little houseboat that sat there tied up to a dock, and it was fantastic. We rarely worked. Once in a while, we'd pull a Sunday, but we did TV Saturday mornings and then went to a shot Saturday night. And most of the time, they'd go right on up there and stay over until Monday morning. But, yeah, we had a good time up there. But we had most of that Tampa crowd up here. We had Tanaka, and we had Buzz Sawyer and Tony Charles and just about everybody that I'd met in West Palm Beach at one time
cool.
or another. Yeah, we had a great crowd. And we had sold the Coliseum out on a number of occasions. And then we sold out to Cornette in 79, and I went, got a full-time job, and which that was too, and started refereeing for Flair and Mulligan over here so they wouldn't have to come over on weekends. So I never did actually give it up. I've been in it really, really since 1969 in one form or another.
Okay.
And boy, did the bones feel it.
Well, Steve, Now I
Jimmy,
can
what's
get,
your question?
I forgot. I kind of took up
can,
your time.
I had three, and now I got one. So I was curious, Steve. Of course, I enjoyed your work in the WWF portraying Doink the Clown and Skinner. What were your fondest memories of working over with Vince?
I have to tell you that my favorite was Skinner. And the reason was is because that the business was on a revolutionary change at that time, and I was it'd been right off of being one of the fabulous ones with Stan, so like a Chippendale dancer kind of a guy. And then I had killed 15 alligators in a harvest down here, the very first hunt where you were allowed to kill alligators. And so watching what was going on up there, I said, well, I better show up with something, you know. So when I first flew up and met Vince, I had an alligator hide, a skull, some paws and stuff like that. And I told him I just killed 15 alligators. I don't know what you can do with it, but I'm just trying to come up with something like show and tell here. And so I said, you've seen everything else I've done, so whatever. And he goes, well, go home for a month, and he says, we'll get you back up here after creative. And after creative, worked on it a month, he calls me, and he had told me to let my hair go to a natural color of brown instead of bleach blonde. And then he said, just grow your beard. And so when I came back up, he goes, hey, did you ever see the movie Deliverance? And I go,
yeah,
I saw it a bunch of times. And he goes, well, I want you to be one of those guys. Well, my first thought was, because I'd just done the Fabulous One gimmick, I'm thinking, well, Burt Reynolds, right? He wants me to be Burt Reynolds. And I look at him and I go, you want me to be Burt Reynolds? You want me to get a vest or something? Or what the hell you want me to get? He says, no, I don't want you to be Burt Reynolds. He said, I want you to be one of the two guys in the woods with Ned Beatty and the guy that says, hey, boy, you got a right pretty mouth. So my whole image of what I was going to be was like shot. Now I went from like a Chippendale dancer to a homeless looking guy, and I got so weird looking that sometimes when I walked by the mirror in the motel rooms, I didn't even recognize myself. It scared the shit out of me, like somebody else was in the room with me late, you know, in the dark when you go to the bathroom. But Skinner was so much fun, and I'll tell you why, because it was my best opportunity to do interviews. My promos generally sucked as a babyface prior to that, because if they were trying to appeal to the good guy image and trying to connect with people, you know, and set the right example. The heel has the best opportunity to do interviews, but if you try to change your character and it's the same face and the same thing, it's hard. So when I got to be Skinner, all I had to do was imitate some guy, you know, like a redneck guy, a swamp guy, whatever. And I added the licorice to make it look like chewing tobacco. And I knew that whenever I screwed up my promo, all I had to do was start laughing like I was nuts, and it came out tremendous. And so Doink was a drizzling shits, and the reason was that it took me an hour to paint my face. And it took so much time getting ready, you know, it would be the thing that I have nightmares about. I'd have a nightmare, the music's playing, and I only got half a Doink face on, and I got to run, you know, painting. And then plus, if you'd have told me when I started in the wrestling business down here in Florida that I was going to retire from the ring as a freaking clown, I'd have died. I would have died saying, there's no way I'm ever going to be a clown. I'm not doing it. And I volunteered. I was the one that went to Vince and said, hey, I got a great idea. I can hide under the ring and we can have two Doinks. Matt Bourne's looking at me like, wait, brother, you're stealing my gimmick.
You know, funny thing happened. I was watching a pro football game, and the announcers were, I don't remember who it was. It was one well-known one. But they two players, man, run right smack into each other. I mean, like a double knockout. And the guy said, wow, Doink. And guess who came to mind right off the bat?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, my poor kids going through school down here in Florida, my kids, it was cool when I was Skinner. I mean, you know, me and Macho Man actually did my son's third grade career day where you invite your dad to come in.
Yeah.
And I dressed up as Skinner, and Randy came full uniform, brother. He stood on one side of the room, and a bunch of little third graders are looking at us, and I'm going, this is one occupation you don't want to grow up to be. I'm the bad guy, and look at that guy. He's supposed to be the good guy. And he's going, ooh, yeah. It was tremendous. But
I love
Skinner
it.
Was a lot of fun because they'd say, okay, hey, Skinner, you're on. And I'd roll around on the floor, get up, and walk out the door. It was, like, unbelievable. I mean, you know, that was the best preparation character he ever did. So, anyway, Skinner was my guy. But I'll tell you what happened is that the first bump I took in the WWF ring in that early 90s series, I thought some mark had put the ring together wrong. I rolled off the floor and crawled up under it because it was like a boxing ring. Almost knocked me out, and I go, you know, I slowly pulled myself out of actually participating, and at first I was so gung-ho about working and making an impression, Vince pulled me aside and said, hey, listen, you're not getting this, Steve. He said, you're from the Everglades. You're an alligator poacher. How do you know how to do go-behind takedowns and fireman carries? He said, you can out-wrestle my baby faces. Don't do that. Just kick and punch. So I, man, I'm done. 90 seconds. Take me out of the oven.
Oh, well,
medium
that scared
rare.
Me. That scared me.
Well, give that
well,
some thought, Steve.
Aurelia.
I'd love to see you up here.
Well, I'd really like to come. I'll talk to Brian about it. It's
please
just
do.
That I had a granddaughter born yesterday. I've
well,
got,
congratulations.
Well, thanks. I got three grandchildren. And wow, step on it, Steve.
Senility.
I'm fishing. I'm doing all kinds of cool stuff, and that because I'm not answering to anybody from any place right now, and it's the most unusual thing that's been around for a long time for my life. So anyway.
But you're getting used to it.
It's only been this month. No, <I'm not.
laughs> You're spoiled already, huh?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Sometimes I wake up and think, what the hell am I going to do today? I don't know. What do you want to do? You know, and I start talking to myself, and I'm going, like, nobody
out.
Calls or nothing like that. And I do that, now it's like I look better than I ever looked. That's like my one responsibility, and I don't have any hobbies. My hobby is going to the gym.
Well, you don't want to do any gator hunting because I did that as a kid and almost went to jail. So,
no, you can do it here. You can do it in September with a license.
Yeah, that when they made it legal. Yeah, but we're going back into the middle up until latter 50s when we're getting $1.50 a foot.
Yeah, well, down here, I mean, you know, it's like the whole thing on the alligator deal's changed anyway. So, I mean. I'm not much of a hunter because I don't want to go out there and just wait for the animal to walk by me. I don't get that whole thing. I mean, you know, so.
Well, you can swim across the creek.
I know 10 seconds is over. Hey, Jimmy, are you there?
Jimmy's got his own stopwatch.
I just wanted to thank you again, Steve, for joining
us.
No
problem, Jimmy.
Mac, it's always a fun time talking with you as well.
Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate it. I'm so glad to get in touch with Steve because it's been a long time.
Yeah, you guys take care.
Take care, Steve. Hope to see you soon.
All right. See you, Mac.
Okay, buddy. Thank you, Jimmy.
All right, Mac. Take it easy, my friend.
Okay, bud. Talk at you soon.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Well, I don't know where Gremlina was today. She completely dropped the ball. Poor thing. She probably has something going on there. She doesn't miss very many episodes. We're going to be back tomorrow with actress Caroline Williams from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre series. January 31st, former WWF superstar Boris Zukov. February 2nd, actor Tanner Rupshaw from Trailer Park Boys. February 4th is actor, animator, set designer Wayne White from Pee Wee's Playhouse, Beatman's World, Shining Time Station, and The Weird Al Show. February 5th is animator artist Darley Brewster, known for her work on The Prince of Egypt, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Paranorman, Ferngully, The Last Rainforest, and much more. February 7th, director, animator, artist Nancy Beeman, known for her work on Hercules, Fantasia 2000, A Goofy Movie, and American Tail 5-0 Goes West. February 8th, director, writer, artist John Sanford, known for his work on DreamWorks Dragons, Home on the Range, Mulan, and The Hunchback of Notre Dame. February 10th, artist, writer, producer Rick Law, known for his work on The Lion King 2, Simba's Pride, Snow Buddies, Air Buddies, Space Buddies, and The Rescuers Down Under. And February 12th, former WWF superstar Heidi Lee Morgan. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us, as always. It was a good time. Talk to you later. Have a great day.